Welcome to Fourth Stream Radio, where we consider concepts to help on your quest to a satisfied mind. Today, Dave and I are talking about spirituality, which you can find in Dave's book called Curious Journey at fourthstream.com.
Spirituality is such a big part of the story. You know, God is looking for spiritual men and women who want to incline themselves, incline their hearts and their minds and their bodies toward the things that God wants. So, you know, when I think about my story and my connection with the story, spirituality has been something that, I don't know, I've had to learn a lot about, and there are a lot of crazy ideas about what spirituality is in the world that we're living in.
Yes, and really, spirituality, honestly, is just life, because everything you do is spiritual. It's either what God wants out of you or what you want out of you. So, you know, it's really not so much that I'm being spiritual or unspiritual. It's that I am a spiritual being. Which direction am I taking it?
So let me see if I can, raise a couple of eyebrows here. This is a quote. This is a quote.
You can always do that.
Out of my book, Curious Journey. Spirituality has little to do with being religious and so much to do with matters of the heart. The goal of authentic spirituality is not so much making all the right choices, but living my days in the freedom of a clear conscience.
Oh boy, a clear conscience. That is really awesome when you finally figure out kind of how to do that. But one of the things that comes to my mind when you talk about that is that Enoch walked with God. And I think that it says the same thing about Noah, but just the idea that you get the impression that they walk along just sort of in constant conversation with God, not so much about stuff, but about kind of what's going on in their hearts.
Well, it's all about them calling on the name of the Lord. And if you look through the examples all the way through the scriptures, it's people who decided that they cared about what God thought, and they searched for God and found him. And that's a beautiful thing.
And I just talked to a friend yesterday, and I thought it was so fun. She wasn't in a fun situation, but she realized she was in a situation where she really had a choice to be bitter towards someone. And she had just heard a teaching on it, and she knew she had to deal with it. But what was interesting, the comment that came out of her mouth was, well, you know, I don't really have a choice but to make myself deal with this. And my response, because of what we're talking about, was, yeah, you do have a choice, but the cool thing is that you're choosing God. You're choosing to honor, and God honors that. I mean, I just believe God will honor that in her, because she's willing to get in the fight.
There are lots of choices that human beings have, and one of them is to be in the fight and honor God, but there are other choices that are not so helpful. So when I said the thing about spirituality, and you've known me for a long time, so spirituality has so little to do with being religious and so much to do with matters of the heart. Give me your take on what I mean when I say that.
Well, I think I can give some specific examples. It's not about just doing the right thing on the outside, but it's consulting God on the inside. So for instance, it's asking God, how do you want me to feel toward that issue or that issue? How do you want me to feel? How am I supposed to feel toward that?
Or to navigate.
And then that was my next comment is, it's not so much just God, help me with that, but God, what is the next step toward that? Because I find that in my life, I used to say, oh God, just help me. And I think as time has gone on, he wants me to be a little more specific and enter into more of a conversation with him than just tossing it out there and saying, okay, there it is. You take care of it and tell me how to do it. Now I feel like he's brought me to a place where he wants me to say, how? What's the next step?
Well, I think one of the things that I've learned from my study of the scriptures about the scribes and the Pharisees and the religious leaders is that if religion were the solution, they would have solved everything. But Jesus had most of his conflict with the religious leaders because they missed the heart part. You know, they got the external part, but they didn't get the heart part. And that's I think what has a lot to do with what real spirituality, or what I would call authentic spirituality, that's described in the scriptures.
And interesting how many years you can go by doing that, and how hard your heart can actually become to where sort of nothing cracks it, because you just think you have the right answers all the time, and only on the outside, not on the inside. You're not soft in there anymore.
I'd like to read something that kind of relates to that. It's out of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, just a couple of verses. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually appraised. When you think of that word appraised, that's literally like somebody who comes in and looks at your house and decides what it's worth. So spiritual discernment on what something's worth. But he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? That's the question. But we have the mind of Christ.
Okay, sometimes it's embarrassing for me to admit that, you know, you read out of the New American Standard, and I'm like, that is like one step away from King James Version of me. Like, I do not.
You're an NIV-er.
I am. I read that and I go, I can get the first part. So read it again and explain it. I just need you to explain what that verse means.
The natural man, which is really what captures the whole idea of being a religious person, it's just one aspect of it. The natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. So that part of us that is natural pushes away the part of the work of the Spirit of God in our lives, because it's just stupidity. It's foolishness. It doesn't make any sense to us at all. So the natural man doesn't accept the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand it. Basically, we don't have the capacity to understand spiritual things apart from the Spirit of God. At least that's the way I understand it, because those things are spiritually appraised. You've got to look at them
spiritually.
Understood, you know.
Okay, so it's not
weighed
like,
out.
Okay.
Yeah, like weighing it out. You're appraising it, and you're going, okay. And so that means you need something. You know, when somebody comes in to appraise your house, they've seen other houses. You know, they know what's working in your home. They know what to look for. They know what makes it worth something. They know what deducts things. And that's basically what God is asking us to do, is to appraise things spiritually. But the natural man doesn't know how to do that.
Okay, so the last sentence.
Well, I was just going to say, so we often buy pretty cruddy houses. But he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one.
Now, what does that mean?
Well, it just basically means that a spiritual person is always circumspect, you know, kind of walking around whatever issue it is, bringing in the Word of God and trying to discern it. So he appraises things from that perspective. But when that happens, then you're automatically being appraised by God. So no other person needs to appraise you, because you're allowing God to walk through your house and say, this is worth something, this needs to be fixed, this needs to be painted.
Okay.
It's actually a pretty good word.
And the last sentence.
For who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? Great question. It's kind of reminiscent of what we were talking about related to Job. But we have the mind of Christ.
And does that we mean me, or does that mean we collectively, like as the body, as we live out in our body life with other people, that we have the mind of Christ?
Well, that would come out from it, but we have the mind of Christ if we have the Spirit of God inside of us. And that's what makes us able to appraise spiritual things. So it is a collective, there is a collective aspect to it, but primarily he's addressing the fact that you can count on the fact that when you know God and you have the Spirit of God within you, you have the mind of Christ. Now, what kind of an asset is that in life from a spiritual perspective?
This is what's interesting. Like all that you explained, I've gotten from the Word, but probably never from that exact verse.
You're just reading in the wrong version. Otherwise, you would. Okay. So, thinking about this whole idea of spirituality, another passage comes to mind. I just love it, and I go back to this over and over again. It's very familiar to people, but it's kind of one of those standards as far as appraisal is concerned. It's out of Galatians 5, verses 22 through 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, the law just doesn't work, because, you know, you don't need the law when those things are alive. And the fruit of the Spirit are such a beautiful way for me to evaluate, you know, what kind of a spirituality that I'm experiencing in any given situation.
Right. Right. I enjoy the verses a couple before that. Well, I don't enjoy them, but they're enlightening. That's probably a better way to say it.
That's the bad news.
The bad news is before, where it talks about frenzied grabs for happiness, cheap, repetitive sex, paranoid loneliness. I mean, the words are so descriptive when you really look at them. Cutthroat competition, when we show our brutal temperature. temperature. I'm sorry, brutal temper, and how then we end up having divided homes and divided lives. And when you think about that, and then what the gift of the Spirit is, what the fruit of the Spirit is, that just makes it so much more comforting. Like, I can really have that.
Well, and think about in our culture how marginalized these things are. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, those kind of things, self-control, those kind of things are supposed to come out of a heart that's inclined toward God. It's not just some kind of a thing you know, patch onto the outside and become that kind of a person and look that way. Those are things that are supposed to come out from the inside of your heart, which they do, you know, if you are living a truly spiritual life, it seems like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does.
I've convinced you. Well, too bad we've got a couple minutes left to go. I have one other passage that I want to look at. And this one is a warm passage when it comes to spirituality to me. We've talked about, the Spirit of God being inside of us and then the fruit of the Spirit being in our lives. This is like, to me, the best expression that I know of in just a couple of verses that says, well, this is what it looks like. This is out of Ephesians 4. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has also forgiven you.
I love the impression there of forgiving each other, too, is forgiving quickly and thoroughly. And just that whole, first of all, the idea of quickly, just get it done. You don't spend a lot of time chewing on why you're so angry. I mean, come to the root of it, but, you know, really do the fight of forgiving quickly. But then also just thoroughly, and what that means when it's a thorough thing, my heart is just so clean. I'm not carrying that thing on my back that just is weighing me down and makes me not able to live out the fruit of the Spirit.
And I think about the fruit of the Spirit, and I think about our culture, and I think, what would it do if those two verses we just read in Ephesians could be applied? Think about this. Think about what you see on television, what you see in politics right now. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. I mean, those are so much a part of what's going on in our culture. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has also forgiven you. And that is really the big standard. You know, we've been forgiven much. And if we feel like we've been forgiven a lot, we're going to love much. And those two things go together.
Yes. And when you read that verse, it makes me realize those are all words we really don't use in our culture very much. We just like tender words better. We like kindness, even though we don't always define it how God would define it. You know, how mercy, we define it how we want to define it in our culture, not necessarily how God defines it. But then just also the idea of, you know, backbiting and anger and clamor and slander. Those are words we just don't use. They're too strong for our culture.
Well, and these words
are too hateful.
And these words in our culture, if we embrace them, will really ring out in ways that are a sharp contrast. And I'd like to say them again. Mm-hmm. Kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has also forgiven you. Now, that's a free way to live life, and that's what I would call spirituality. How about you?
Amen.
Well, here we go. You can find the book Curious Journey, which we were talking about today, at fourstream.com. It's got a series of chapters in it. They're not too long, so it's a pretty easy book to read. A great conversation book with that younger person in your life, perhaps. It celebrates the meaning of each of our stories in the middle of the timeless bigger story, where fourstream.com is a collection of resources to help you and those you know experience the freedom of a kingdom life. If you'd like to listen to today's program in its entirety, go to fourstream and click the radio button. Thanks, Bernadette, for hanging out with me today.
I enjoyed it. Together, we are finding hope at fourthstream.com.
Take care, my friend.